You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Good afternoon, Tuscaloosa and internet world. Welcome in. This is the Friday edition of the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com. I'm Joe Gaither hanging out with you guys today. And just want to let you know, this is a recut. I messed up the very first part of our show today with Rodney Orr. Unfortunately, I only did the intro and asked him how he was doing. He said very well. So we're recutting the intro right now because I messed it up. As you get into this episode, we really appreciate everybody jumping in and joining us on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can watch any of those shows right there on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and you can re-listen to them on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, Audible. We want to thank our guests already this week. We had Sterling Dixon from Mobile Christian High School. If you missed it, you can hear him on Tuesday's show. We had Will Miller from Bama Central on Wednesday's show. And today we're joined by Rodney Orr. Rodney Orr, Mr. Tider Insider, TiderInsider.com. He joins us today to talk all things Alabama football in 2023. He previews a book that he's working on, and we talk about the big recruiting weekend ahead. So we're going to hit a cut right here. The question was, Rodney Orr, what's your outlook on the 2023 season? Kirk Herbstreit talked about Alabama being being his pick to win the national championship based on other pundits counting Alabama out. Rodney Orr, what do you think about that? Here is Rodney Orr right in the middle of his answer and the rest of the conversation. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us on a wonderful Friday.
Calling, the communication should be better, I think, as you go along. I really like what I saw the secondary, even though it's young in some areas. I love what I saw from the aggressiveness, the playmaking ability back there. And I just think overall, Kevin Steele's going to bring a sense of confidence to this defensive side of the football. So I like all of those things, like Will Reichard coming back. Hopefully Burnup continues to improve. I think he has. So I'm feeling really confident right now. I don't think Herbstreit's necessarily off. I don't think it's an outlandish suggestion that Alabama could win the national championship.
Well, Rodney, I totally agree with you and agree with Kirk in those with those thoughts, because I feel like everybody's looking at the quarterback and saying, oh, Bryce is gone, you lost Will Anderson, there's no way you can be as good. But I think back to the early Saban teams, and no disrespect on Greg McElroy, but there was a lot of, you know, the parts are better than the positions. The parts are better than the individuals. And I think I see that a lot. I mean, you outlined a lot of the stronger position groups for this Alabama 2023 team. I know the question marks at quarterback, but the offensive line, I just feel like if the quarterback plays his role, that this team has every ability to go out there and execute and play at a high level. Is that outlandish? Because I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, Alabama's going to lose two or three games, miss the playoffs again, and be upset with Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like I said, I'm really encouraged by what I think the offensive line can eventually do. They've got a lot of players up front that I think they have to choose from, and we'll see how those guys develop come August camp. And so I feel good about the offensive line. I think Eric Wolford's doing a fantastic job. Again, I like the tight end room. I like the addition of C.J. Dupree. Danny Lewis has really developed. I thought Miles Kitzelman had a really good A-Day game. Obviously, Amari Nyeblack's a guy that kind of plays a different role. He's gotten a little bigger, I understand, and he's not afraid to block, but he is an outstanding receiver. Robbie Utes, we saw what he could do in the Auburn game when he's used as a weapon. You know, they've got some other guys there, too. I really like the true freshman's potential, but, whether or not he contributes this year or not, Ty Lockwood. So they've got a really good room at tight end. The receivers, as we mentioned, I think Malik Benson, it's going to be real interesting. I know he had a lot of buzz, you know, throughout most of spring. Then they've got some other guys. We'll see how they develop. Obviously, you've got Ja'Cory Brooks back, Jermaine Burton. You've got Isaiah Bond, very high on Kendrick Law. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Jalen Hill, the true freshman. than just their other guys as well. So I feel really good about that. And the running back room might be the best in the country. I think we have not seen the best of Jace McClellan yet. I know a lot of people just kind of think Jace is an average back, or, you know, there's some people who suggest that. And I just don't see that at all. I think Jace McClellan has a chance to be an outstanding back. He's a great receiver as well. He could be very productive. Again, I just don't think we've seen the best of Jace, mainly due to the injuries that he had earlier in his career. You know, we know about Justice Haynes, what he did in the spring. We know about Jam Miller is going to be an outstanding player as well. And Roy Williams. So they have four right there. And then you've got Richard Young, another true freshman, it's a five-star coming in. So it's a pretty loaded room. I'm excited to see, you know, what Tommy Reese can do with this offense and all the parts that they have. And, you know, I guess you're going to probably ask about quarterback, so I'll wait for that and see what you want to ask.
Well, exactly. Well, you lined it out there, Tommy Reese. There's a lot of great players out there, but there's only one football. A loaded running back room and what looks to be a loaded wide receiver room. How difficult is it for a 30-year-old coach, a new coach coming into a place with high expectations, and you've got to get the football to a lot of talented players? Does that create, you know, complications going into a season?
Complications is when you don't have those players. Fair, that's when absolutely. It's complicated, Jeff.
Yes.
This is not a, trust me, it's not a problem. as long as you have players that, you know, they understand their roles and they're, you know, look, Nick Saban does a great job. I don't even really recall any player since he's been here, you know, I'd have to really think about it, that complained about not getting the ball. And I'm talking about a guy that was a legitimate contributor to the team, because they all understand that it's the bigger picture. So, no, I mean, I think, you know, that they'll figure out ways to get guys in positions to make plays, and they'll spread the ball around and all of those things. I think all of those things will happen. So I don't think that's going to be something that's an issue at all.
Rodney, you touched on A-Day, you touched on Malik Benson. You touched on Malik Benson, and I'm very, very excited about him. But a lot of people were upset or disappointed with his A-Day output. Obviously, he got used a lot on their final drive. Well, do you believe that there was a bit of, let's just hide Malik Benson, let's just keep him on the shelf a little bit, not show him off on A-Day, and that he's really going to have – I think he might be wide receiver one this year.
Yeah, all I really know is that when he got here right before – I guess it was right after the at the end of the season going into bowl practices, that everything I heard in the bowl practices was that he was pretty impressive. I mean, he was got so difficult to cover. He's got great speed, you know, that he had a really, really good spring, especially the first half. And I know that some of the scrimmages, he did not do a whole lot in terms of production. I think he had a pretty decent scrimmage that first one in the spring, had a big play or two. But after that, he was pretty much quiet. What does that really mean? I don't know. All I know is that everything I heard leading up to those points was that Malik Benson was, you know, the real deal, a guy that had an opportunity to be a very, very strong contributor next season and bring some things in terms of just game-breaking ability.
Would I be out of bounds to expect or to be kind of projecting a Jameson Williams-type impact on the offense with Malik Benson?
Well, you know, that's 1,500 yards and those touchdowns. And, you know, I think really, to be honest with you, you've got so many guys, wide receivers. You know, I've heard them say they've got as many as 8 to 9 or 10 that could make a contribution. So they've got a lot of guys. You know, they've got they're probably going to focus a little more on balance. So I don't know that numbers-wise Malik Benson or anyone will put up those kind of numbers, but I do think that he can be a guy that makes some big plays. You know, that's the key, is just being able to fit into the overall system.
Absolutely. Well, we're kind of dancing around quarterbacks and such, and we've got a huge recruiting weekend this weekend, so I kind of want to throw a big topic. Julian Sayin is coming into town this week, not on an official visit, but he's coming into town for the cookout, and he just came off winning Elite 11 Finals. We all know the quarterback controversy or discussions or, I guess, you know, questions. That's about the questions about quarterbacks in 2023. How does Julian Sayin's commitment and really, you know, winning Elite 11 is obviously very prestigious. How does that play into the quarterback battle now and really 12 months from now? Do we see, you know, a bunch of guys leaving once Julian Sayin early enrolls? I think the quarterback position is so interesting going forward, really over the next 24 months.
Well, so you're asking right now, I don't think it means anything in terms of the current team.
Right.
You know, I don't think any of those quarterbacks are really thinking about that right now. But as you move forward, I mean, obviously, I think quarterbacks are a unique position. They're looking to play and play immediately. And this is a really talented room that they have. So with all that said, you know, I mean, who knows what the future holds with those, all of the group, but, you know, I would suppose that if a couple of them aren't playing and, you know, they're going to certainly be looking elsewhere because that's kind of the way it goes nowadays. But again, we have to see how it all plays out.
Are you expecting whoever starts week one against MTSU, do you expect that to kind of carry all the way through the season, or do you think this will be a fluid situation at the quarterback position really throughout the first couple of weeks of the year?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, they're going to play it out to early in the season and see how it goes. I think a lot of that depends on what happens once August camp gets here. I mean, so if a guy is head and shoulders above everyone else, are they still going to keep a competition going for until the Texas game? I wouldn't think so. I mean, I just think that it just depends on how it comes that plays out in August. You know, to assess it, I would probably say, you know, fairly to start with Milroe. I mean, obviously, he's an incredible athlete. Now, I think he's made some improvements as a passer based on everything I've heard, some of the things I've seen. I still think it's a lot of inconsistency that you see, too. You know, so then you go to Ty Simpson. I think Ty has all the tools. I think you saw in A-Day he was getting better and better and better. The question is, you know, is Ty ready to step into the role? Is he mature enough in terms of as a player, not as a person, but as a player, to be ready to kind of manage everything they have to do as the quarterback? You know, that may take a little time. You know, so you're asking, could there be some competition throughout the season? Yeah, I think there certainly could be. If the guy, whoever it is, starts and he's kind of so-so and another guy's coming around, then maybe they would allow that. But I would say this, to me, they brought in Ty Buckner for a reason. And I think Ty Buckner, here's the thing with Tyler Buckner. I just look at him and I say, this is a guy that was extremely talented coming out of high school, 81 touchdowns overall his junior year. He's been limited with some injuries, was limited at Notre Dame with some injuries. I think he's a guy that could be really, really good. I mean, really good. I'm not saying he's Bryce Young or anyone else. I'm not comparing him to anyone. But I think he's a dual threat guy, great runner. He has a strong arm. He has a very, very smart. I think he can be a really good passer. But we'll have to kind of, again, like the other guys, see how it plays out in August camp. But I do like Tyler Buckner a lot.
We're talking to Rodney Orr, Mr. Tyler Insider. You can subscribe to TylerInsider.com, and we really appreciate him carving out some time on a Friday. I hope you guys are having a great Friday and enjoying this discussion with Rodney. I really appreciate your time, Rodney. Okay, one thing on Tyler Buckner that I think is total hooey, but the narrative has been out there. Okay, Tyler Buckner transfers in after spring because Tommy Rees and Nick Saban made him promises or made him assurances. Yeah, yeah. And so there's like, please elaborate on that. It just doesn't happen at the Alabama program.
No, I don't think there's been any promises made at all. I think it does send a message though that, you know, they weren't totally comfortable with the way spring went with the quarterbacks. and they felt like they needed to add someone to the room that could potentially be the starter. And I do think that they brought him in because they have confidence he can be that guy. He's got a lot of maturity. I think he's overcome some things. Again, I think he's really talented. I think that he's got a chip on his shoulder because I think he feels like he's got something to prove a little bit to himself. That's just me. I mean, I do think Tyler Buchner is a really talented guy. And I think he, again, I think Tyler Buchner could be a guy that by the time you get to midseason, he could be the buzz of the SEC because of the impact that he's making. And I don't, again, I don't mean necessarily putting up huge numbers like a Bryce Young or whatever, but I mean just doing what he has to do as a passer, as a runner, as managing the offense with his maturity. And I think that's the one thing with Tyler Buchner that I see that really stands out to me. It's just his maturity. And I think that's going to be really key for him and his efforts to win the job, but also for the Alabama offense if he does do that.
1,000%. If Alabama's operating an efficient offense, whether he's putting up 100 yards, you know, thousands of yards or not, people will praise him. I think people are expecting Alabama to be bad offensively just because of the quarterback hole. I think people aren't really looking at what else is around here. So I totally agree. Tyler Buchner could steal your headlines. What about complications? What about complications with Tyler Buchner and winning the team? Coach Saban always talks in previous quarterback competitions, we're gonna go with the guy who wins the team. Buchner coming in late, you know, post spring, in the summer. Will he have enough quote unquote time to win the team? Will there be enough opportunity for him to really prove himself to the other 84 guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's doing that right now in terms of having the opportunity. I don't know that he's doing it. I'm saying he's having the opportunity right now in the workouts that they're doing, the 7-on-7, all of those things, just the way he carries himself. I think that certainly can make an impact and lay the foundation heading into August camp. And you know what? Listen, I think these guys want the best guy to play. They like them all. They're all teammates. But at the same time, they all want to win too, and they all want to be productive. So I think it's a, you know, who's the best guy? And I think they certainly have a trust in the coaching staff, certainly in Nick Saban, to make the decision to put them in the best positions to have success as players and as a team. So I think, you know, I don't think that'll be any problem at all. And again, as far as him just blending in with his teammates, I mean, I don't see that as an issue at all either, because I think Tyler Buchner's a really mature guy. And, so I think that'll go over well. I really do. I think he'll blend in very very nicely.
All right, I got two more topics on 2023, and then we'll get into some recruiting if you don't mind. Let's talk about Tommy Reese. You've already talked about him a good bit already, but many people detracting and giving him minuses due to his age and maybe not living up, you know, not knowing the pressure. This, that, and the other. Come on, what's your impression? What are you expecting out of Tommy Reese? What do we know about him? And kind of. Can he put all the things to bed? Did Nick Saban hire an elite offensive coordinator?
Well, okay, so let's go back to 2008.
Yeah.
When they hired Jim McElwain, and everybody was like, who? You know? And then they hired Nussmeier. Nussmeier had success here. He won a national championship. And then, you know, I mean, you brought in Lane Kiffin. You brought in Brian Daboll. People said, Brian Daboll, I mean, he was like a tight ends coach at the New England Patriots. Okay, yeah, but he also put together their offensive game plans. So he knew what he was doing. You know, every guy that he's had has been successful. You know, so, no, I mean, I think Tommy Reese, people talk about age. I had to laugh. Nick Saban said I wasn't looking at age, how old he is or how young he is. I'm looking at how good he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they think he's really good. They think he's a rising, I don't want to say necessarily a star, but a guy that's, you know, in the coaching ranks is really looked at as a guy that I think is an up-and-comer. And then I would say this, too. It's also about the parts that you have, the coaching staff that you have around you, the head coach, the players, you know, the personnel that you can use. I think all of those things are going to be very significant. And I also think, too, and I don't know every analyst over there, to be honest with you, who all's on the analyst list. I mean, I know they've got some really good ones that can be very helpful. One that really sticks out to me would be Ken Wisenhunt, you know, who obviously coached a Super Bowl team. Got a lot of experience, was an offensive analyst at Penn State last year, but he brings a lot of veteran knowledge, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I'm look forward to seeing Tommy Rees. I think he's a guy that's going to relate extremely well to the players, and I've heard nothing but really good things about him. I mean, look, I think sometimes the criticism at Notre Dame, I'm not sure he had all the players at Notre Dame, all the pieces to use that he's going to have here at Alabama. So, 100%. I think all of that would play into it.
100% agree with that. I think Tyler Buchner is going to realize that as well once he takes some live snaps. This offensive line is pretty good. These running backs are pretty good. One more topic for 2023, and then we'll flip to recruiting. You're a Texas man, Rodney. The Longhorns are coming into town week number two. How are we feeling about Steve Sarkisian bringing Quinn Ewers and looking for revenge? I know it's on everybody's mind. We don't want to overlook the Blue Raiders, but the Texas Longhorns is the big matchup. Are you pumped up to see the Longhorns in Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Joe, let me ask, did you say I'm a Texas fan?
Man. You're born in Texas, correct?
No, I was actually born in Alabama.
But... Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I had that incorrect.
No, you're fine. It's I grew up in Texas. That's why I don't like that's why I don't like them.
Okay. All right. I knew there was a Texas connection. I thought you were born in I'm sorry.
No, I spent 30-plus years out there, but okay. I'm not really fond of Texas, although I like all my friends out there, and a lot of them are Longhorns, but we just don't talk too much about college football.
Fair.
But with all that said, I would say this. I think that's right now me, and again, I don't want to jump ahead to Texas A&M or Tennessee or LSU or any of these other games, and I know we're jumping over Middle Tennessee, but I think that's the most important game early on is that Texas game. I mean, obviously, I think Middle Tennessee, you know, you got to survive in terms of injuries and those kinds of things, and that's really important. But let's be honest, I think we all expect Alabama to be pretty dominant in that game. But I think in the second game there against Texas, where it falls on the schedule's always bothered me for this team because the quarterback situation,
yes.
You know, you've got a lot of new players. You look at Texas, they've got their offensive line back. I think they might have the best left tackle right now in college football, or certainly one of the best young offensive tackles, Kelvin Banks. They've got their offensive line back. They have a core of wide receivers.
Yes.
Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Isaiah Naor. You know, you can go on. They've got other guys too that are very good. They've got a Jatavius Sanders is kind of a H-back tight end guy. you know, they've got Quinn Ewers back. They did lose Bijan Robinson and Roshan Johnson. They've got some young running backs that are really, really good, though. They've got about three of them that they really like a lot, that they think can step in and do really, really well. So I think their parts are in place offensively to be really, really good. Defensively, they return a lot of starters. I think it's 9 of 11, something like that, 8 of 11. I know Bo Davis is on the defensive line, so anytime Bo Davis is coaching your defensive line, you know it's going to be stout.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, I think defensively they should be better. They're really confident, I can tell you that. They think they're going to be really good. So, yeah, that game concerns me.
Absolutely. Me too. Rodney, before we talk about recruiting, why don't you tell everybody about TylerInsider.com and where they can watch you on Tuesday nights and subscribe to your website.
TylerInsider.com. Well, it's, you know, we're going into our 27th year, Joe.
Wow.
We were the first Alabama website, and I'm talking about premium website, on the internet. In 1996, we started. And Kirk McNair was there with Bama Magazine, all due respect, but he was mainly putting his newsletter on there before he became a full-fledged website. So always admired Kirk. But so we've been going that long, and it's only $48 a year. and Alabama fans can sign up there at tighterinsider.com, and that way they can get all our premium information, had a recruiting update today. We've had other things and so forth throughout the week. And then our all sports forum, that's our community of Alabama fans. And I'm telling you, Joe, I don't know if you've ever seen our all sports forum, yeah. But it's pretty active. It's been a little slow the last few days because of the time of the year, but it's normally really rolling when you're talking about Alabama sports.
Well, and Rodney, your experience is untold value, massive value to Alabama fans, and so I really encourage them. You've been around. I really encourage them to check out TylerInsider.com. It is really worth the investment and worth checking it out, Rodney. And then on this note, you're writing a book. You're kind of in the process of writing a book. What's the timeline on that for you? A couple of months, a year? How are you feeling about the book? I know it's a huge project for you, but Alabama fans are really, really looking forward to reading it based on your based on your experience. Where do you stand with the book?
Well, there's one thing I've learned over the last year. We've been doing this for a year, putting it together for a year. And there's one thing I've learned is you don't put I like to put a timeline on some things too. But I've learned you can't put a timeline on doing this kind of thing. But really, Joe, it's about, you know, it goes way back. I mentioned to you earlier, you mentioned Texas, where we moved to Texas in 1966. I didn't even really realize I was from Alabama when we moved to Texas until we got out there. And they degraded us so badly that I had to ask my older brother, what in the world's wrong with being from Alabama? You know, what makes us so bad? And he taught me about Alabama football. I was only 6 years old. And that he planted the seeds of this obsession. And this obsession basically carried me through all throughout high school. A lot of good stories that are involved in that process of being an Alabama fan. Things that I did. Things that you could not relate to, Joe, because you've grown up in modern day where you've had a cell phone and you've had access to all this stuff. Back in those days, Joe, it was like primitive. You know, we didn't have all this immediate access. Sure. If I wanted to listen to an Alabama game back in those days out in Texas, I'd call my brother in Mobile long distance. That was 20 cents a minute. He'd lay the phone by the radio. Can you imagine the phone bill?
It's 60 minutes times three is
one. Well, it wasn't 60 minutes, though. You're talking about a game.
Right.
You're talking about commercials. You're talking about all the game, the pregame, all of this stuff. It was quite – I can't even remember how much. All I know is that when we got the phone bill, Southwestern Bell or whatever it was, my dad went ballistic. So my mom goes to Radio Shack there in Corpus Christi, Texas, looking for the tallest antenna they've got. And the clerk asked her what it would be for. And she said, well, I want my son to be able to pick up these stations in Alabama so he can listen to the Alabama games. And he had to break the bad news. There's no such thing as an antenna that will do that. So anyway, long story short, Joe, it was kind of my driving motivation, obsession to end up going to school at Alabama. I would say every day, one day I'm going to school at Alabama, one day. I don't think I ever really believed it, but I kept saying it over and over and over. And I told everyone I knew, all of my friends, that one day I would do it. And guess what? I eventually ended up against all odds. There's a story behind that, too. I won't get into that. That's in the book. But there's a story how I ended up at Alabama when it looked like I was headed to the University of Texas. So I took an immediate detour and ended up at Alabama, which is where I was supposed to be. And I was led to Alabama. That was where I always wanted to be. So anyway, it's stories like that and things that happened. And then, you know, how my dream was to be where I am right now, you know, to be covering Alabama. And it seemed to be against all odds. And, you know, I was even told that it would never happen by an expert in the field, that it just wouldn't happen. And it did. And my wife, who pushed me into my destiny, she was constantly my support. She was the spiritual pillar of our home. And, you know, I never would have dreamed that she would get addicted to prescription drugs, and it led ultimately to her death. And, you know, the things I learned about myself as a husband and the things I learned about people and life and all of the things. And, you know, my family, when my wife passed away, was basically in total chaos. We had four kids. My stepson, who I raised since he was 5 years old, was 23 at the time. He was facing 5 years in prison. He was addicted to drugs himself, but he was also drug trafficking. So a lot of things happen, a lot of things in this book that we cover. And the main thing that I would say is that when it was all settled, I looked to the only place I knew to look, and that was to God. And, you know, people say that, but no, this is true. I can tell you exactly how, what I did. And I can tell you that, his grace was sufficient. And it certainly, he did some wonderful things in our lives. And, you know, I want to share those things. And I want to share the transformation that when you become fully committed to him, what he can do to transform people and transform me, you know. And so that's really what I want to share in this book.
What a powerful story, and I'm really looking forward to reading it. I cannot wait till it gets done. Don't rush it. Get it right. But I cannot wait to read
That's right.
It's gonna be a great read for all Alabama fans. If you want to just learn about Rodney, learn about covering Alabama, but it's gonna be a powerful story for really people needing Christ, and I believe, and really needing some inspiration. And I'm looking forward to reading it myself as someone who needs a little bit of that inspiration as well. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it.
Well, now, and like I said, as far as the timeline, Joe, first of all, I do appreciate you allowing me to kind of bump
please.
The book a little bit, but I don't really know. Right now, we're in the process of working on it. We're trying to get it where we want it, and hopefully, we will meet with the publisher relatively soon and move forward, and we'll go from there.
Well, I cannot wait for it. So I'll be looking forward for updates, and when you get it about right, we'll have you back. We'll promote it as well, because it's going to be a great book. Let's talk about this weekend, because it's the last weekend for Alabama's recruiting weekend. We're about to go into an NCAA dead period for roughly a month. So Alabama's hosting a big cookout, and lots of big names are coming. You've got a big list of official visitors, but you've got Julian Sain, Jalen Mbakwe, and Joseph Iannetta are the three commits who are coming in for the recruiting weekend. What's it do for Alabama this weekend to have those three guys who are committed already take part in the cookout and kind of serve as student recruiters or athlete recruiters trying to add to the 2024 class?
I think it's really big. I mean, I think, you know, when you have guys who have already made the decision, they can help other guys understand, you know, what went into their decision-making process. You know, you've got two of those guys are five-star players, Mbakwe and Julian Sain. So I think anytime you're talking to other five-star players and, you know, you've already made the big decision, you can certainly be helpful to them and, you know, why you made that decision for Alabama. So I do think that's important. I think, too, when you look at Julian Sain, he's an Elite 11 MVP. Let's just be honest, not trying to be biased, but he won that. And I think he's proven it on the field. And I think there's probably a decent chance Julian Sain might eventually be the number one player overall in this class. I think that's really key. I really do. I think it can be very, very helpful.
Rodney, let's talk about somebody who took an official visit last weekend to Auburn. Perry Thompson has been committed to Alabama since last June, but after his visit last weekend, highly recruited wide receiver out of Foley, he says now Auburn and Alabama are both, quote-unquote, right there. Are we in danger of losing Perry Thompson, Perry Uno Thompson, to the Auburn Tigers?
I think it's possible. I mean, look, Hugh Freeze and those guys, their coaching staff, they know how to recruit. They've done it before. Hugh Freeze was very successful at Ole Miss recruiting. He knows what it is to recruit in the SEC. So he's going to be a formidable foe when it comes to recruiting and on the field. I think you might as well just get ready for it. Whether Perry Thompson ultimately flips or not, they've been extremely confident. And I'm say they, meaning Auburn people, seem to be very confident that eventually he'll flip. You know, we'll see. Alabama's recruiting a lot of wide receivers. They're recruiting a lot of really good players at that position. I mean, obviously they want Perry Thompson, but, you know, I guess we'll just have to let it play out and see how it unfolds.
Absolutely. We're bringing in Oh, I just had his name. Ellis Robinson, cornerback out of Bradenton, Florida. I believe he's already committed to Georgia. Yes, already committed to Georgia. And you've got actually a lot of Georgia kind of leans that are coming this weekend. I think KJ Bolden is kind of a Georgia lean as well. What are you getting? How important is it to kind of, you're battling with Georgia. How important is it to win these battles against Georgia for these top players?
Very.
Yeah, I mean, duh.
Very, because I think Alabama right now and probably Georgia are the not only in the SEC, but probably nationally are the two best when it comes to evaluating prospects. So you're going to go in head-to-head against them in a lot of those battles. And I think one thing Georgia does a great job of is they identify these players early, and they've made a lot of really good, strong relationships early and kind of have got a little bit of a jump on this class. So I think that's been very helpful to them. But you mentioned some of the guys. You got KJ Bolden, a safety out of the state of Georgia at Buford. His teammate, five-star defensive lineman or outside backer, however you want to phrase him. He's an edge guy, I guess. Edric Houston, both those guys at Buford, Georgia. And, they're battling for them. But Ohio State's probably the leader for both those two right now. I mean, remember last year's time, there was thought that maybe Ohio State led for both Caleb Downs and even Justice Haynes. And Alabama ended up with both of them. And then there was some thought that maybe they might have ultimately flipped to Georgia, and it didn't happen. So there's a long way. There's a lot of things. When they come on visits here, Alabama does an extremely good job with them on campus of really, we'll see. That's what these visit weekends are about.
I think I have one more question on the recruiting front, and it involves Dylan Raiola, the quarterback who's committed to Georgia. He's transferred into Buford, and I don't know the specifics or the details about that. Is that unusual to you, with your experience? Is that unusual to you to have he's committed to Georgia, he transfers to Buford High School in Georgia? Is it unusual to have a commit transfer closer to the university that he's going to play at in the next year? I don't know. It just seems unusual to me.
It doesn't happen often, but I mean, yeah, it's happened before. I mean, this isn't the first time. I don't know that I don't really recall one where he's transferred in where there's two other five-star players that on that team that he could convince to come their way. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a unique situation in a lot of ways, but it is what it is. This is like his fourth school in, 2 years? I mean, he started in Burleson, Texas. He goes to Arizona, transfers to a different school over in Arizona. And I think he was actually, because of the transfer rules, I think he would have had to set out some games over in Arizona, maybe up to six. So now he can transfer over to Buford, and apparently, he won't miss any games. So, they're already a powerful program over there at Buford, so he certainly is going to help them too.
Those school changes kind of send me shades of, Anthony Alfano, highly recruited player.
Yeah, he made several, yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for their future. Ronnie, anybody out there on the Alabama recruiting board that you think, okay, these guys we've got to get? Obviously, Alabama's right at 13, 16 on the recruiting rankings, depending on where you're looking. You've already got Sterling Dixon. You've got the quarterback, Julian Sain. You got a couple wide receivers with Perry Thompson and Rico Scott. Is there anybody out there that you're like, this guy needs to be a priority, like Caleb Downs was last year? This guy needs to be a priority for the 2024 class.
Well, I will say this. I think, first of all, you need to get offensive linemen. You need to get defensive linemen. But I would say to me right now, and again, I don't know everything with their defensive line recruiting. They do have Jeremiah Beeman. I think that's a big pickup. They've got to get some defensive linemen, and they're just not right now. You look at the top defensive linemen, and not many of them are mentioning Alabama. Now, Edric Houston's coming in. He's more of an edge guy. But you've got DeAndre Robinson from down in Orlando, who I think's very underrated player to me. He's a guy that, you're in the mix with. And you got some other guys. But for some reason, they're not as good a defensive line right now. least this defensive lineman are not publicized. Now I'm talking about the tight end thing. You know, but as far as say there's a priority, I don't know. I hate to pin that one guy, but I would say this. They lost Peter Woods last year. He's 50 miles down the road. He is a Alabama lock all his life, and he goes to Clemson. I don't think you need to lose another guy 70 miles down the road to Georgia named DeMarcus Riddick. He's a guy that grew up in an Alabama family. So I think DeMarcus Riddick would be a big pickup if Alabama could flip him when he announces his decision. I think it's July 26th. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But he's from Clanton, you know, Chilton County High School. So, I think he's a big pickup. He would be a big pickup.
Rodney Sterling told me on Tuesday that now that he's shut down his commitment, his main priority, he wants to convince DeMarcus Riddick to come join him on the class. And I was impressed because he said, oh, I know he plays my position, but it just pushed me to be even that much better to get another edge guy in here in my same class. I was like, all right, man, go do it for us.
Rodney, yeah, you know, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
I was just going to wrap us up and ask us one more time for a Tighter Insider plug, how they sign up, and just really thank you so much for the time that you gave us today. You gave us plenty of time and plenty of information.
Well, it's tighterinsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and you can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there is an address there to send a check. And that gives you all the premium information on our front page. But also, I mentioned our All Sports Forum. You know, it's a constant flow of information exchange, Alabama, SEC, national, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. I mean, just all kinds of discussion. We've got a great community, a lot of insiders, a lot of posters that have inside knowledge, that share things, tidbits, all of this type of thing. I mean, it happens instantly right there on tighterinsider.com.
I 100% endorse that, because a lot of times when I say I'm hearing whispers about or I've heard rumors about, it's coming straight off of TighterInsider.com until it gets confirmed as actual news. So people who want that inside scoop, TighterInsider.com. Rodney, thank you so much for joining me, man. I hope to do it again soon, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, Joe, I hope you have a great weekend, and I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Rodney Orr joining us on the Joe Gaither Show. And what a blast, what a pleasure it was to have his expertise. You heard him covering Alabama football, covering Alabama athletics since 1996. It doesn't get much better than that. And we really, really appreciate Rodney joining us right here on the Joe Gaither Show. Go follow him at Tighter Insider on the Twitter machine. But more importantly, just type in tighterinsider.com and just follow the steps to sign up. You will get that inside information. You get a lot of people who know things in Tuscaloosa but don't want to put their own name on it, and you get some real information. Not all of it's 100% factual, but a lot of it is, and a lot of it really comes through. So check out TighterInsider.com. Okay, before we shut the show down, we should react to last night's events. Last night's events, the NBA draft, happened last night, and you know, we talked about it throughout the entire week, and I really appreciate everybody who's joined us this week. You're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, on Amazon Prime, Audible, or watching me on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I appreciate everybody sharing the streams, commenting. James and Julene again ruling the comments. I appreciate that. All right, last night Alabama gets two guys drafted in the first round. Nate Oates obviously bumped up his first, now he's up to four first round draft picks since 2020, tied with Duke and Kentucky. Incredible just where Alabama basketball has put themselves over the last 3 years, and really putting themselves into position to continue. You look down the line at the 2024 class, you see Trey Johnson having Alabama in his final six, the number one player in the 2024 class. Really, really looking forward to seeing if he can, if we can get him convinced to roll with the Tide. But last night, all right, I'm interested in two things. First, Brandon Miller goes number two to Charlotte. Great. Good for you. That's awesome. There were late reports about Sean Sharania maybe saying Scoot Henderson was going to go in the number two overall pick. Got a small issue with that, because Sean Sharania is employed by FanDuel. You don't know what FanDuel is. If you don't, it's gambling. It's a gambling entity. It's a gambling website where you can place money. You know, gambling. Sports gambling. And because of Shams' report yesterday, had a lot of people go on to FanDuel and go on to other sportsbook apps and bet that Scoot Henderson would be the number two overall selection. So was Shams Charania's report accurate, or was he just trying to defraud some gamblers and get some money in FanDuel's pocket? Was it? Or did Shams Charania actually have reporting that said the Charlotte Hornets were considering a late switch to Scoot Henderson? All right, that seems a little suspect. I will encourage you all to not sports gamble. I love gambling, but don't gamble because things like this happen, and it's a great way to lose your money. Sometimes it's fun, but only gamble what you can afford to lose. Maybe Shams Charania had a little bit of nefarious intentions behind his reporting and behind his tweets. Nevertheless, Brandon Miller goes number two to Charlotte yesterday. Charlotte Hornets get a lot better. Interesting, weird reaction, though. All the fans in the arena, over in Charlotte, and all the fans in sports bars in Charlotte, the large reaction, at least publicly, was boo to Brandon Miller. And so I was really surprised at that. I didn't realize how much love was behind Scoot Henderson. Now, yes, Scoot Henderson's been playing in the G League for the last 2 years, but I was very surprised. I mean, you're getting the SEC Player of the Year, you're getting an All-American, you're getting literally the best player in college basketball, and you're booing him? You're booing him? Why are you booing him? Are you booing him because you don't know about him? Because you maybe have heard that he's more connected to the murder of Jamia Harris than he is? Are you booing him because the national media basically told you that Alabama, swept his involvement under the rug, that Alabama didn't punish Brandon Miller? I don't know. Or are you booing him because he's not good? Like, that's not the case. Okay, look, I know he had a bad NCAA tournament. He did. But he had an incredible run as a freshman. He's going to play very, very nicely with LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is going to be bringing the ball up. He's going to be pushing the action. He's going to be driving the paint. Driving kick to one Brandon Miller, who's going to be stroking threes from the elbow, from the wing, over there in Charlotte. I think Charlotte's going to actually end up regretting booing Brandon Miller last night. That was a classless look. Look, I've been a part of a lot of draft nights watching the Chicago Bears, and I've cheered and booed a lot of players. It usually doesn't work out well cheering or booing certain players because, look, whatever happens on draft night 3 or 4 years down the line, doesn't end up mattering. You know, you cheered some picks and they turn out to be cruddy. You boo other picks and they turn out to be amazing. You just don't know on draft night. Miss Julian Lee, I agree. Wait till they win. Finally, they're going to be cheering Brandon Miller. They're all going to be buying the 24 jerseys, Brandon Miller. Our other guy yesterday, Noah Stretch Clowney, not even really on the draft boards going into last year's season. Alabama's lowest rated recruit in last year's class. Yeah, lowest rated recruit. Gets drafted in the first round, number 21 overall, to the Brooklyn Nets. And look, Brooklyn's in a state of rebuild after dishing out Kyrie and after dishing out KD. We know that they've got Mikal Bridges, who's kind of their big number one player. Ben Simmons over there obviously stealing the headlines for sitting on the bench. I think Noah Clowney's going to find himself some early heavy minutes with the Brooklyn Nets. I think he's going to find himself some really heavy role with Brooklyn. Now, I don't really think Brooklyn's very close to contending. I don't. But I think Noah Clowney, I think that's a great fit for him because he gets to go in there. He gets to play immediately. You got to remember, Noah Clowney's still 18, 19 years old. Young guy. Very, very exciting last night for our two players going in the first round. Now, the flip side, the other side of the coin, bad. Oh, pain. Charles Bediako, Chuck, what are you doing? Yesterday going into the draft, I was confident. Someone has promised Chuck a 10-day two-way contract. Someone has promised Chuck a second-round draft pick. Someone has promised Chuck something. But no. Tick by tick by tick by tick, pick by pick goes on last night, and Charles Bediako is not selected, much to our own. We expected that. We expected he wasn't going to get drafted. He wasn't in the top 60. Come on, Chuck, you should have come back to school, dude. Come back to school. But no, Chuck, I guess, felt Like, it was the best move for him to go on into the NBA. And that's what he did. And what ended up happening, he goes undrafted last night, gets passed over, and he is getting invited into San Antonio Spurs camp. So he's going to back up Victor Wembanyama at Summer League. That's kind of cool. So, yeah, he will be on your television screens in Summer League because they're going to be showing Victor Wembanyama. You just look down the bench. You'll be able to see our boy Charles Bediako as well. I'm very perplexed. I'm very confused at Charles Bediako. His choice to stay in the NBA draft, especially after last night played all the way out. You get through the draft, and Charles isn't selected. He isn't even one of these first guys that are reached out to and get deals quickly. There was about 10 guys who got two-way contracts like within an hour of the draft being over. Charles wasn't one of them. I wonder who was in his ear. I wonder what advice he was really given, and really if they had Charles Bediako's best interest at heart. Now, Nate Oates, he obviously pivoted. He pivoted and he brought in Grant Nelson and Jaren Stevenson, and we've got front court players that can fill Charles Bediako's role. It just breaks my heart from an Alabama standpoint, from a supporter of Charles. Charles really improved from his freshman and sophomore year. He really did. He came in as a freshman, really, you know, fouling, long arms, out of control, not very strong. He got stronger within a year. He became a better defender. He became a better catch and slam guy. He was great at catching the JQ lob and just throwing it right on down in the second year. Look, I think if he'd stayed at Alabama, if you'd have stayed at Alabama, my man, you probably would have snuck into that second round next year. Painful, painful decision, but decisions and consequences we all have to live with, and Charles will have to live with his own decision and consequence to stay in the NBA draft and go undrafted. Now he will have to make his own way with the San Antonio Spurs, and I do wish him the best of luck. I mean, I'm obviously pulling for everybody. There's only a couple of Bama guys that I'm like, bleep you. And Charles isn't one of them. My heart just breaks that I think he made a poor decision, and hopefully it works out for him. Hopefully he's able to overcome that poor decision. All right, so what are we gonna do for the weekend and the next week? All right, weekend's all to myself. You guys don't get to know about that. Next week, I'm hoping to talk to our friend Hunter Johnson on Tuesday. Hunter Johnson and myself hosted the Tide Hoops pregame show before basketball games. I want to do a season review, a year-end review with Hunter Johnson. He's a huge baseball fan, huge basketball fan. We all know we all love football, so we'll talk all kinds of sports with Hunter Johnson. I believe on Tuesday he said, "Hey, let me work some things out. I'm working on Julian Sam. Got some positive communication with Coach Thad McNeil, his high school coach, so we're working on Julian Sam. We'll continue to try to search out all the commits. It's my goal to get all the Alabama 2024 commits on this show by December, by the time that they sign and become Alabama football players. So guys, thank y'all so much for joining me today. Rodney Orr, thank you so much, Rodney, for all your expertise. Go follow him at Tyler Insider. Make sure you keep up with all his great action. You can watch him on Tuesday nights at 6:30 on Tyler Insider TV on WVUA 23. I appreciate Rodney for joining me today. I appreciate you, the listener, for hanging out and joining us. Go tell a friend about the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Music, Audible. You can watch me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I really appreciate everybody hanging out. It's been the end of another week. I hope you have a great weekend. Go follow my boss at Riding Walsh on the Twitter machine. Follow me at JoeGaither6. And we will be back next week for a fresh new edition on Monday of the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central.